Welcome to another Northern Soundbite. I'm Robert Hannon. Wednesday marks the beginning of Passover. The eight-day holiday traditionally begins with a ceremonial meal in the home called a Seder, where friends, extended family, and even surprise guests sit down together. While COVID-19 has brought complications to that scenario, it hasn't derailed it. Phyllis Morrow is a retired UAF anthropology professor and administrator. She's put together a virtual Seder. How is this Passover different, Phyllis, from ones you've experienced before?
Well, it's interesting that you use that phrasing because one of the things that you say at Passover is, how is this night different from all other nights? That's part of the Passover Seder. So one of the things that people are always thinking about is how Passover night is different from all other nights. Passover's been celebrated by people in all kinds of circumstances for a long, long time. People have been hunkered down in their homes during war and other kinds of situations. So it's always different, and it always resonates with whatever's going on now. I mean, it's particularly poignant in a time where everyone is having to stay at home and be separated from others. We're thinking about freedom and bondage or slavery. And I think it tunes us in to those themes in a particular way now, and to the extent that it makes us all sensitive to the very many ways that people experience restriction, social injustice, fear, all of those things that hold people back from full potential and that cry out for us to connect with each other. Those themes are really acute, probably for everyone right now. And it's a holiday that we're supposed to be thinking about those things all the time.
What I find so fascinating about the holiday is that it's celebrated at home. I think having a religious holiday on the home and then expressing these concerns you outline gives that home a special context.
It does. Remember, too, that we're celebrating it in reduced homes. So, you know, my household, for example, there are two of us who are sheltering in place. But the people that we have at our Passover Seder include an extended family and a friend network that are here in our house together, and sometimes we're at someone else's house. So we can't have the full household for Seder this year. So I think, like many people, we're working on a virtual Seder.
Talk me through what a virtual Seder looks like, Phyllis.
Since we want to actually see each other's faces at some point, and we actually want to exchange some food in a safe way, we'll see how this works, but here's the plan. We're going to have a food exchange, and the people who are invited to the Seder will show up in our driveway. We'll maintain a safe space. We'll get to say hello to everyone. They'll be in their cars. And then one by one, people will get out, put their food contribution in boxes, take something from each of the people who has contributed something, and everybody will come with a full box of one item that they've made and leave with a full box of assorted items that all of us have made, so that we'll have common foods at our tables. Not all foods. We're only sharing those foods that need to be heated or cooked when you've given it to somebody. So, you know, we'll take our containers in, disinfect them if we wish to do that, and heat things up in the ovens or on our stovetops. But that allows us to have a common meal. And then each of us will, in our own home, make our Seder plate with the symbolic foods on it and our glasses of wine, and we'll meet on Zoom for the actual Seder.
What should we know about Passover in this time of pandemic that would you like us to reflect on?
It's such a huge question. Passover offers a lot of different themes that can really help people think through this time. One of them, for example, is gratitude. There's a section in the Passover Seder where you offer thanks that your ancestors were delivered from Egypt. And each of the things that God did, you say, if he'd only done this one thing, it would have been enough. But if he'd done these two things and nothing else, it would have been enough. If he'd done these three things and nothing else, it would have been enough. And the idea there is to think of those things that you can be grateful for. Now, the flip side of this, we also have it, our more political Seders, is the opposite, lo dayenu. It's not enough. There's always more to do. We need to think about those things that we need to do to function together as a society, to support each other, to reduce inequality, to connect us at times like this. And I think both Dayenu and Lo Dayenu are pieces of the Passover ceremony that anybody could take away right now and use to think with. And I would encourage people, if they're curious about this at all, there's an absolutely delightful website called Haggadot.com. Haggadot is just the plural in Hebrew of Haggadah, or the booklet that you follow. And there's so many different Haggadot on this site. You can just go from one end of the most secular, no references to religion or God in the Haggadah, to more traditional Haggadahs with everything in between. And if people are curious, just browsing on that site, you'd find many, many things to think about and talk about, and they will resonate with what's going on today.
Anything else, Phyllis?
One thing to remember is that in the Haggadah story, there is a reference to plagues. And that feels particularly strange to people, I think, at the moment that we are in a time of plague. But it also is a touchstone for thinking about misfortune and difficulties that people experience and that people can inflict on each other, and how we should not do that. So this is Passover in the time of plague.
Yes. Well, exactly. I mean, it's so strange how timely this is.
But Passover is always timely. That's the nature of it.
Phyllis says one of the drawbacks to a virtual Seder is she and her husband Chase can't open their door to invite in the hungry. She says they'll make a symbolic gesture and donate to organizations that feed the hungry.